This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Janzenove Kruger became infatuated with American folk music when they first heard it as children in their native Switzerland. Two of them once tried to play the same guitar, taking three strings each. That didn't work. Eventually, Jens picked up the banjo. Uwe continued with the guitar. The two brothers played music together for years, but it wasn't until they met Joel Landsberg that they seemed to be a group. Joel is a bass player from New York City, in fact, moved to Switzerland in 1989. Joel, Jens, and Uwe have been like brothers ever since. The Kruger brothers meld the elements of jazz, classical, and bluegrass. The title track from their album Forever and a Day sounds like this.
When the cold nights of winter weigh heavy on my mind, I walk down to the river to ease my worried mind. And I can see the reflection of the moon on every ice floe in the bay. And I know that you'll soon be on your way.
The Kruger brothers perform tonight in Raleigh, but first they join us in the studio to talk about their music. Welcome, everyone. Good to be here.
Hello.
Wow. So, Jens and Uwe, let's talk about your love of music in Switzerland and how you came to hear bluegrass for the first time.
Well, our parents, they sang music and they sang songs and played guitar and accordions, and they were German immigrants. They came from Germany. And so when we were little children, we sang every day and start, you know, it's what we did. And so we really were close to music. And then we were got exposed to American jazz. Our father, he liked Dixieland, and he liked classical music, likes all kinds of music. But the country music he liked was Eddie Arnold and, you know, Chet Atkins and things. And then we learned from a friend of our family. He was an English teacher in Fribourg, that there was folk music, you know, Pete Seeger and, you know, all these folk artists from the 60s. And we learned songs from him, and that really fascinated us, you know, the banjo sound and the guitar sound, really.
Did you guys want to play together, Uwe? Did you always think
about it? Oh, yeah. We started playing when we were like 7 and 8 years old. And Jens played the harmonica back then. I played the guitar. But when a few years later, Jens got the banjo and started playing guitar exclusively, basically. And that's we stayed like that for now. I mean, things changed really for me when I heard Doc Watson play. And that changed my life. I didn't know that you could do this with a guitar. And then back then, it was amazing. And I'm still at it.
You spent hours and hours trying to figure out how he can be so articulate. And, you know, it's an incredible job to be that clean and articulate and play all those notes seemingly at once.
Absolutely.
Wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Joel, what about you? When did you start playing music and how did you get involved?
Well, I very fortunately had a very musical upbringing as well. My mom's mom was in the Yiddish theater back up in New York back in the 20s and all. And I have a brother who's 10 years older than me who also studied music. And so there was always music in the house.
How'd you hear about these guys?
I met these guys after I'd moved to Switzerland back in 1989. And was a bit of a pushy New Yorker back then, just traveling around trying to get myself hired as a bass player, you know, soon after I moved to the country. And the music scene over there was pretty small, and it was inevitable that we would end up meeting each other pretty soon after I'd got over there. And we started working together as sidemen in different bands and just developed a wonderful friendship. And
when did the idea emerge and how did it that Joel would be part of the group and you guys would travel together?
Well, we met Joel, like you said, in 1989, 1990, and Uwe and me were working as sidemen, you know, in country bands and country rock bands and blues bands, playing electric guitars, you know, and banjo and whatever is needed. And so we did lots of shows, and we also had a band where we just played guitar and banjo and played, you know, more American folk music, the things we played since we were kids. And my wife was playing bass at the time, and my children, when they had to go to school, she had to quit, really, because it was just too much. And so Joel was on hand. We were working in a musical together, and we started working with Joel, and we had so many. We had our own radio show on national radio, and
in Switzerland.
In Switzerland, yeah, and you know, back, you know, doing a live radio show with live music, and so we hired Joel for that. And then out of that, the Kruger Brothers actually emerged. And then we had so many shows at once that we just, quit everything else and just said, well, we just do our music. And it just was a new step. And I think that was in 1995 or 96, you know, and during that time, you know.
Yeah. Joel, as somebody who grew up in this country listening to this music, country music, bluegrass, that sort of thing, when you go over there, when you play this music there and when you play with the Krueger Brothers, do you hear something different? Do you hear the influence of...
Funny enough, I really didn't grow up listening to bluegrass music at all. I was born in New York City, so my influences were much more classically oriented, jazz, Broadway, R&B, funk, soul, all that kind of stuff. But it really took me moving 3,500 miles away from home and moving to Europe to get an introduction into
was that
American
really your
roots
introduction?
Music.
So were you,
that was
you,
my
you're
introduction
not
to American roots music, really.
Wow.
Well, and, you know, we would spend hours and hours and hours when they were first working me into playing with them full-time exclusively. We would just spend hours just playing bluegrass songs and just playing them and playing them and playing them and never telling me the titles. Just one song after another, and to this day I still mix a couple of them up.
But to come back to your question, you know, over in Europe we had to play standards. We had to play what you expect from a banjo, guitar, and bass. Yeah. Play Foggy Mountain Breakdown, dueling banjos, and Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe tunes. And then coming over here, it was totally different, because over here, why should we play old Scruggs' music when he just played her before us or right after us at the festival like Merlefest? And the same with Doc Watson's tunes. So we started singing our own music here, and that's what people seem to like, and this is what we really make our living with now.
You did that. Your 2010 album, Forever and a Day, includes some covers but some original songs as mm-hmm. well. Who writes the music?
Well, I write the words mostly, and then Jens writes the music for it.
Let's listen to one of the songs from that album. This one's called The Plan.
I had a plan when I was young. It involved some having fun. Maybe to find someone to love, do some things to be proud of. I'd live as fast as I could live and give it all that I could give. And never think about the end, always be somebody's friend. I watched the bow go high and low, steer my vessel through the flow. Times the ocean neath the keel, I will hold on to the wheel. I lit the candle at both ends, let the years slip through my hands. I did what I believed was right, never had to run or hide. Friends I found and friends I lost, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. I know each day could be my last, said the sail upon the mast. I watched the bow go high and low, steer my vessel through the flow. Times the ocean neath the keel, I will hold on to the wheel. Successful with my plan, yes, I would do it all again. Things I needed came to be, I really went out on a spree. Do I need a plan for growing old? My young and restless years concluded. I never thought I'd get this far, the thoughts of getting old excluded. I watched the bow go high and low, steer my vessel through the flow. Times the ocean beneath the keel, I will hold on to the I watched the bow go high and low, steer my vessel through the flow. Times the ocean neath the keel, I will hold on to the wheel. Times the ocean neath the keel, I will hold on to the wheel.
The Krueger Brothers, The Plan, from their album Forever and a Day. They're going to be performing tonight at Fletcher Opera Theater in Raleigh. They're with us now. And Uwe, you said as you were listening to that, it's a lot slower on the album than you play it when you do it live.
Yeah. I haven't heard it on the record for a while.
What accounts for that? When you get in the studio, is it a big change for you, a big difference being in the studio playing live?
Yeah. It's a huge difference. You don't have the visual aspect of it. You know, when you play live, there's so many other things that play into the performance. It's the venue where you are, the sound system, how it reacts with the air that's in there. You know, and it's just a total different thing in the studio. It's all just an abstraction, really, of all this. You have just the atmosphere of the studio to work with. Mm. And you got this microphone in front of you, and that's it.
How did you guys come to settle in North Carolina?
Well, actually, we were invited in 1997 to play at Merlefest, and so we got to know a lot of people in the region of Wilkesboro, Wilkes County, and then we had a lot of requests to play around the country, and so that was we met a Shepherd family in Wilkesboro, and they let us live with them because their children were out of the house, and so we started to have clothes there and our van there and our PA there, and then you know you get to know more and more people, and when it was at one point I came home and my children were 9, 10 years old at the time, and I came home and I was on the road in America for 3 months at the time, and I said, well, I came home and said to my wife, either we move to America or I'm not going to go back. Because it has just been so much, you know, being on the road about 6, 7 months out of the year away from the family. And then all the other shows in Europe, of course. But just being in America all this time. So, and my wife just looked at me and said, when are we going? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, we didn't have, we had working permits, you know, working on I think P1s it was at the time. And then we had O visa. And actually, you know, we got the green cards then, you know, for our music, you know, from America. So with a nice letter, welcome to America. It was very nice, you know.
What's the biggest adjustment you've had to make living here?
The food.
For better or for worse?
Well, for different. Yeah. It's totally different, you know. I mean, when you come from Europe, you think a lot of things are the same. But they're not. It's actually totally different, you know. So
it's also dangerous. Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, the food is different. It's a sort of more addictive here. And so it was for us a lot, you know, it was quite a change. You know, everything's much saltier and fattier. And, you know, especially the food that you get on the road. And for us it was a little trappy, you know, at first to find, actually being on the road, to find food that doesn't tear you apart at one point, you know, and so we were, you know, so it, yeah, for yeah. the first years it was quite a challenge, and now we're starting to
get a grip on it.
When you're off the road, that good locally grown North Carolina food is good for everybody.
No.
On the road in those fast food places.
Yeah. It's difficult.
And they
you know,
do
sometimes.
Put, they've got little esters in there that draw you, well, you know, on a float.
Well, but it's good. You know, that's the bad thing about it. But then you sit in the car for 17 hours in a row. You can't even walk anymore. You know, it's just like in Europe and Switzerland, we walked everything. You know, just, and I mean, I had my first car when I was 27.
Wow.
I never had to have a car. You know, it was a public transportation wherever I went. But here,
that's un-American.
I mean, I had
un-American. Talk that way now.
But depending on what part of the country,
Switzerland.
But you know what? What was also musically, I have to say, adjusting musically was to have all of a sudden the option that we didn't have, you know, in a smaller country. You know, Switzerland is a country that has 7 million people. So we also would play in Germany and Austria and Italy, you know, combined, you know, would give a whole lot of people. But, you know, still, you had to conform to what people really wanted to hear more. And here in America, all of a sudden, you're in a country with 300 million people. And if you do something that you really truly think is the right thing for you to do, and then you sit on stage and you really can't wait to play it for people because you really think it's the right thing to do because you really like what you're doing, you find enough people to support you to be a musician, and that was a sort of a different aspect that we didn't know, and once we started realizing that, or dawning on us, you know, we were here, it dawned on us all of a sudden, we can play our music here. We are completely free because there's so many people, and if they don't like it, somebody else will, you know? And that you can actually, with a lot less compromises, be a musician here in this country. That was quite an adjustment. And you know, we would talk a lot about it, and it helped us, you know, to really play. You know, I just say that because we used to write a lot of music in Europe, and we were never able to play it for anybody.
And there's quite a bit of variety in your music. Jens, you've composed most of the music for something called Appalachian Concerto, and this is an orchestral work.
We always listened to classical music. We grew up with classical music, so I always was interested in composing and arranging. And here, you know, I wanted to, for instance, do something with a chamber orchestra in Switzerland. And, you know, they looked at banjo and orchestra. What's wrong with you? That doesn't work.
Well, nobody's heard Bela Fleck, right?
But this is America. And, you know, the first people here to do it was people like, you know, in the 60s, Eric Weisberg, Eric Weisberg did it in 66. And it was always in the pops, you know, always. And people, all kinds of people have always done that. And so... and of course, Bela Fleck, and of course, you know, other people. And I just come and go to Bangor Symphony. So I like to write a big piece for banjo and orchestra. Of course. And the National Endowments for the Arts gives money, you know, and they're all happy with it. And, you know, and you sit at home, you go, wow.
You can do that here.
You know, this is really amazing.
The land of opportunity.
Let's hear a little bit of that from Appalachian Concerto. This is a piece from E Pluribus Unum. Just a piece of E Pluribus Unum from Appalachian Concerto, written by the Kruger brothers. Jens Kruger with us, along with his brother Uwe, and as well as their bass player is with us, Joel, and Joel Landsberg. Let me ask you about the influences in that. Appalachian Concerto, are there any Alps sticking, poking their heads through the peaks in that song, in that piece?
Probably.
Yeah? Can you feel it? I mean, does it feel regional to you? Are you trying to reflect a region, or is that not what goes into the composition of that piece?
Well, I would say, you know, this is a very romantic piece of, you know, I just tried to... We are immigrants, so when I had the request to write this commission piece, I wanted to, you know, write about immigrants, because that's the closest that was to me, you know. That. And also there's, you know, I imagine different countries, you know, different people from different countries coming together in this vast, you know, place here, you know, and meeting up with the locals and trying to get along. And so that's why I try to put, you know, some Romanian influence and some German, some Native American, you know, that I learned from around here. And so try to, you know, combine a few of these things together. And that's why E Pluribus Unum, this is the second little part of it, you know, where everything sort of comes a little bit together. You know, if we would have listened a little longer, now we start to get the Italians and then the Germans. And, you know, so... So I try to put different cultures into
it. It's interesting. You know, why don't we hear more Swiss music? It is a melting pot. The food there is fantastic. Yeah. They're all three Italian, French, and Swiss, and German cultures blend there. Interesting that there isn't a kind of unique Swiss mountain music that
actually,
the world knows about.
Actually, bluegrass is from Switzerland.
Yeah. No. The Rock came from Switzerland in 1928.
No.
And, the thing
taking
is
this with me.
Swiss mountain music really is a... It was outlawed by the English tourists back in the 1850s.
Yeah, because, you know...
It sounds awful, really. Celtic music.
They had lots of use of the tritonus, and actually the government, you know, actually decided to write music that was more conformed for the tourists in Switzerland in 1880. It is, you know, destroyed culture, just like, you know, other places as well.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you all for being on the program
so
much.
Absolutely.
The Kruger brothers, Jens Kruger, Uwe Kruger, and Joel Landsberg, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you,
Frank.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Kruger brothers perform tonight at Fletcher Opera Theater, Raleigh's Progress Energy Center, 8 o'clock, part of the Pinecone Down Home Concert Series. Visit KrugerBrothers.com for more information. Kruger is KRUGER. Just ahead, the creation of a new radio superhero, the Jade City Pharaoh, premieres next on The State of Things.